Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Frey Podcast, brought to you by thefrey.com, a place for women who want more from life. This is what I want, this is what I need. If you don't have to go, I can set you free. Are you gonna make a move? Are you gonna come and see? Whatever you wanna do, you know it's cool with me. Today's podcast is a conversation with my little sister who has all of a sudden become incredibly shy, which is very, very off-brand for her. Mallory, say hi.
Hi.
She's really scared. She's like,
oh, I am so nervous. I feel like my heart's about to explode.
But she has agreed. And you've mentioned before that you'd be open to having a bit of a chat on the podcast, just like about dating and single mum life and all of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
And what are you nervous about?
Oh, I don't know. Just talking to no one.
We were testing the audio levels before and I said, just say something so I can check yours. And she like just like froze in fear. You can say anything. But anyway, it is unusual to see Mallory go quiet or feel uncomfortable because she is generally the sort of person who thrives making other people feel uncomfortable. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And something I guess that I think is worth mentioning when it comes to my sister is the fact that she has kind of like followed in my footsteps a little bit,
yeah,
I would say. So a couple of similarities between us. And also I should probably say you're 5 years younger than me,
yeah,
right? 5 years-ish. So a couple of similarities. I did a hairdressing apprenticeship when I left high school.
I also did a hairdressing apprenticeship when I finished high school.
I have twin boys.
I also have twin boys. However, I didn't choose that.
She didn't actively go out and...
A family of overachievers.
And she also has a daughter who is 6 months younger than the boys. So I remember finding out that you were pregnant like 2 days after I'd had the boys. And mum was so nervous to tell me. I don't know why she was nervous to tell me.
I was so nervous to tell you.
I don't know why. But that's a weird thing.
But then I only had one baby and I wasn't as clever as you. So no one cared about my one baby to your two.
So then she had to go and have two on the next round. So Mallory has three kids. You also became divorced or started a divorce proceeding, a separation, the same year that I did in 2019.
But I mean, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Apparently so. And next week she's starting a podcast. I don't think so. Just be like full silent.
The fru.
The what?
The fru.
The fru coming soon. And what else is probably important for people to know? Oh, you're 30?
Yeah, I just turned 30.
Yeah, welcome to your 30s.
Thank you.
And where are you living?
Oh, look, I've just moved back in with my dad. It's fantastic. He is the best man in the world.
He is. Even though a little bit later on we're probably going to kind of poke holes in his character.
He is, as an adult, I can appreciate him a lot more. And he's fine to live with.
I think, like, as an adult, I don't know, like, I won't speak on behalf of you, but I know for me, with both of our parents, you kind of get to a point where you just have to realize they're just humans and go, oh, like, that's just a human doing the best human job that they possibly can do. And while dad's not like a super emotionally available person, which we'll talk about because I think it connects directly to your dad issues.
Oh, daddy. Absolutely.
But yeah, I do think you get to a point where you just appreciate people for who they are. Agree?
Yeah, agree. And I think I now as an adult, I understand his love language and his...
What do you think his love language is?
Oh, his is definitely acts of service.
Yeah.
Or gifts.
He's, yeah, for sure.
Like he buys terrible gifts.
But often.
All the time. Like all the time.
I remember kind of having that epiphany when the boys were really little and I was picking them up from daycare and I had the impulse to
take them a gift every time.
I'm the exact same, but also so I work full time and Dad picks up my oldest girl every day from school, and every single day he takes her to the shop after school and buys her something. Yeah. Every day.
And that's what he did with us. Like I can so vividly remember getting in the school, in the car after he picked us up.
Tic-tacs.
I was going to say tic-tacs.
Always.
Fruit tingles.
Yeah.
Or like a pair of novelty socks. Like he just always had something for us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, I was picking up my own kids and I'm like, why do I have this urge to always stop and get them like a little something just for making it through the day? And I was like, oh, that's because that's how Dad was with us.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we're both materialistic. Yeah.
I don't think that I'm materialistic.
I think you are.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In what way?
I think we like nice things, and whatever we both want, we always get.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Like, I definitely like nice things, but I also can't think of anything that I have that I value super highly. Like, if the house was on fire, there's not really anything that I can think of that I'd be, like, devastated to lose.
No, I think that's very similar to me, but I'm not attached to anything as such.
Yeah.
But I do, I guess I like to have nice things.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And Dad is still like that now. Like when we go to his house, and I can imagine, and you can speak on it, what it's like living with him, but the gifts, and like, he's always like, what can I get you? What can I do for you? Here, have this, eat this, drink this.
I could not tell you the last time I've ever wanted a toasted sandwich and I get offered one at least 5 times a day.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And I do think it's an interesting thing. Mallory's just slurping her coffee. And when you put it down, that sound will come through as well. So be careful.
Very sorry.
That's okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I think it's interesting when you become an adult, and Mallory and I were just having this conversation on our walk, you kind of start to notice the through line of perhaps what you're going for in a relationship that was either familiar, because that's what your parents gave you, or they didn't give you something. So then you're seeking that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's where we are quite,
not to get all Freudian,
but where we're quite different in the sense of you tend to go for emotionally unavailable men.
Mm-hmm.
And I go for men that are too available.
Yes. But I think even though we have the same parents, I would say we had very different experiences in upbringing because, yes, we're 5 years apart. You're the baby. And I think, and again, this is just, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, but when I kind of like analyze things, I feel as though because you were the third girl and there was that gap, Dad really wanted a boy and it was really known.
Oh, it was evident. Even my childhood, you girls did figure skating and dancing and I did martial arts and soccer, and Dad used to make me go on runs with him and take me to the park. And I remember once he came home with a soccer ball, like, just a gift, another gift, like a soccer ball for me. And I was put into every kind of boy kind of sport that you can imagine. Whereas you girls had your tutus and your fringes permed. And
we didn't have fringes permed. It was just the 80s.
But see,
that's interesting because you so wanted to do those things. But I think probably you did want to do those things because Dad was always saying, you're the boy I never had. Like, that's what he'd say to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is the boy I never had, and kind of guide you towards.
Yeah, exactly. He always suggested
strongly.
Like, I did martial arts for years.
Yeah, that was never suggested to me.
And Dad took me every single time.
But you were also quite a defiant, outspoken child, and you were always willing to really take up space, like always be the center of attention, always take up space and attention. And for me, as I look back on our childhood, I do kind of think, oh, I think you were doing that. Like, you were compensating. Like, you weren't the boy that Dad always said he wanted, but you were going to be big in every other way. Like, you were going to make us all laugh and you were going to be like the rebel.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really fair statement. I think it was never a secret from Dad that he wanted a boy.
He kind of didn't want a
like,
third girl. Yeah.
The first thing he said when I was born was, oh, shit, like another girl. And he didn't. I don't think Dad and I had a bond until I was an adult. I think until I had my own children, and now I feel like we have a really close bond.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. You don't feel like you had a bond with Dad. And so when you are choosing men now that you're dating, you're wanting them. And again, like, who are we to, like, this is just all speculation, but like you seem to really like people who are obsessed with you very quickly.
Oh, I date the same type of man, and that is
to the point where they look the same, guys. Like they look the same.
Yeah, and but they throw themselves at me. Like,
yeah,
they are so available.
Mm. And you love that until you don't.
I love that until the next week when I meet someone else that has possibly one more tattoo or is an inch taller.
And someone who's going to give you even more of that dopamine hit of, hey, I'm going to drop everything for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I tend to gravitate towards people who are emotionally or physically, like as in they live somewhere else, unavailable to me. And I think, again, that does relate to like dad's always been there for me, but he's always been like a little bit emotionally unavailable. He's a very black and white person. There's no shades of gray with him. So that feels very familiar and safe for me to not be able to reveal too much about my own emotions with someone.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting. But, you know, one of the other similarities, of course, with Mallory and I now, well, the biggest similarity and the reason we're probably sitting down and having this conversation is that we are both in our 30s. You're only just in. Welcome.
Barely. I don't look it.
Barely. But we are dating. We do have kids. And it's an interesting thing to be dating as an adult, as someone who has kind of, I don't know if you feel like this, but sometimes I feel like I have two lives.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that is probably another thing that, I guess, as hard as divorce is and everything that comes with it, I do feel like we're both in a situation where we are, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but we get that time to date without the children.
Yes. Like, there will be people listening who have full-time custody of their kids and they don't have the option to not introduce their kids quickly, or they don't have the option to easily go, oh, okay, I've got these 3 days to myself or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's very beneficial.
Yeah. Sometimes I definitely feel, I feel both of the things, but sometimes I feel quite lucky, as you said, to have the experience of family time, of getting to be mum, of getting to raise these beautiful kids and really being deep in mum mode, and then getting to change gears.
Yeah.
And it enjoy friends and dating and that sort of stuff.
It is. It's two lives, even from our day-to-day lives. Like my work hours are different on the weeks that I don't have the children.
Mm.
How I train, where I go to the gym, it's different. They're two different weeks that I live.
So Mallory does week on, week off with her three. And you went through a really amicable divorce, would you say?
Yeah, my ex-husband and I are great. Like,
yeah, he's a great. He comments on your Instagram stuff.
He does. He's a great dad. And our kids are so happy and so well adjusted that I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, you picked a good one to divorce.
Yeah, absolutely. Great one to divorce.
No, he's a good guy. But yeah, I don't know if you can relate. Then I feel whiplash sometimes. Like it takes me a little bit to calibrate, but then I only have like the 3 nights without the boys. And by the third night, I'm ready to get them back. But yeah, it feels like whiplash of, oh, I'm this mode. Oh, I'm that mode.
And maybe because yours rotates
it's not
more frequently than me too. Like you're every 3 days, whereas I know that I've got that.
Weeks,
you know, so we do our drop-offs from daycare and school kind of thing. So I know that from that day that, okay, I've got X amount of time.
Yeah. I was just signaling her to stop tapping the desk. Now she's like got her arms crossed like she's a corpse. Yes. Okay. So both single, both dating. Let's talk about the type of person in a little bit more depth that you are attracted to. Because when I asked you this question, when I said Mallory, Milmorgan, Maloney. Who I can remember, this is, I digress, but I can remember a swimming carnival and they called you out as Maloney. No, but was it Milmore?
No, it was Maloney.
Maloney over the speaker.
I'm pretty sure I won a ticket.
Maloney, baloney. Which again, strange of our parents to call you Mallory, our older sister Sage, and then throw a Kylie in the middle.
Yeah, plain.
So Australian. Just throw that in there. Okay, so when I asked Mallory what sort of guys she's attracted to, what did you say?
Losers. I love a loser. Like, oh.
Extend. What makes a loser and why do you love them?
I don't understand why I do, but I tend to go for just losers, like the kind that live in their parents' basements or don't have bed sheets on their beds, don't know how to be an adult. And I don't know why, but my type, mine always seem to be the same type. Like, they always have some sort of addiction problem.
Oh, my God.
And a little bit of a criminal past.
Do you think there's part of you that likes to be the fixer or the hero or the glue? Like, that you're so...
I think previously I've definitely dated where I've thought, no, I can fix this man or I can change this man.
Like, my love will be the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not. It never
it's never the right
style. You can't fix them.
No. You do definitely have a type. And I think that's just human nature. We all have a type that we're typically drawn to. Like, my girlfriend Amanda always says to me, like, she'll say, oh, are you going on a date this week? And I'll be like, yeah, I'm going on a date. And I'll send her the photo. And she's like, yeah, that's on brand for you. Like, yeah. Looks like he goes to festivals. Like, that's like the standard guy that you would choose. And your standard guy is definitely like big,
tattooed,
solid,
yeah.
Kind of the kind of guys that you might like cross the road to get away from at night.
Bad boy.
She loves a bad boy.
A bad dad.
Oh my God.
A bad daddy.
Again, daddy issues. All right. So there's that. But you do want to kind of change the sort that you're going for, do you think?
I like my...
You're comfortable with your crims? Crim safe?
I like the physical type that I go for, and I think that that probably won't change. Like, I think my attraction, I'm only ever drawn to the same type of people. However...
Yeah, because you and I, we would never swipe on the same people.
No, never.
I'm like swiping on like skinny, long hair, like kind of nomad looking things. And you're really swiping on like bikey looking guys.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can't see a gang sign, I'm not in.
She's laughing, but she's serious as well.
I'm so serious.
Yeah. It's so concerning. So you think that you'll stick with your same physical type, but you're looking for the unicorn. You're looking for the guy that looks like a gang member but isn't.
Oh, I'm happy if they are.
So stressful being a sister. It's so stressful.
I just want them to be a little bit put together. I want someone to be able to look after me. I want them to be able to fix me.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to like you want all of the adoration and attention and affection. But just for the listeners playing at home, last night Mallory was on a date and she sent me a photo of this guy's bathroom. And she's like, I love him. He's a proper adult. And I'm like, wow. Like, the bar is literally on the floor if you're just like, oh, this guy's a good guy because his bathroom's organized.
I think that's an unfair statement because this was an exceptional bathroom.
No, it's just a standard guy's bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, had like a shaggy rug on the floor in a bathroom. Like, that's a bit outdated. Yeah,
like, this man has like a three-step... face cleansing.
There were a lot of Nivea for men products.
A lot of products.
And so you just like that he was had products.
Yeah, I didn't have to get out my own little toiletry bag.
The bar is on the floor, team. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about online dating specifically, and then maybe we'll go into real dates as well. I am curious to know, when do you tell people that you have kids? Because I like, just full disclosure, I never have it on my profile that I'm a mom or that I have children. And I think if I really sit with that, there's probably some sort of internalized judgment or misconception surrounding single parents that I have held on to about myself. Maybe that's what it is. I also think maybe it's a bit of a protection setting. Like, I only tell people once I feel like, oh yeah, I'm probably gonna meet this person. But yeah. What's your, like, do you have on your profile mum of three?
Not three, because I don't feel like I should be penalized for three, because the twins were not my choice.
She always starts with hear me out.
I honestly, up until very, very recently, I was the exact same as you. I did not mention the children at all. I do have on my profile now that I've got children and I'm not after another one to look after.
So you don't want to get tangled up with anyone that has kids?
Oh, no, I meant like a man that I had to look after, like, right. A child.
I'm like,
yeah.
That's pretty. Oh,
but again, yeah, I don't want to be a stepmom.
You don't?
No.
You've got a bit of experience with that.
Yeah, I've been there and it's not for me, which is probably...
Although, to be fair, you were in a very extreme situation.
Yeah, a very different situation that probably not many people are in. But no, I think I'm different to you in the sense of I don't give too much conversation before I meet. Like, I'm very, very quick to go, yes, I want to meet you, or no, I don't. And I don't do the conversation online. I'll say, okay, awesome, let's meet. I'm happy to. I've honestly met and been on probably 20 dates in the last week since yesterday, in the last month, honestly, like, because I find it so easy to go, all right, let's just meet for a coffee or do this. And then I can tell. And I'm like, I went on it terrible.
On New Year's Eve.
It was not even a date. It did not even get to the date. I got there and I knew straight away that this man was not for me.
Within 5 minutes, she'd sent me a message saying he's a child.
Oh, his housemate was asleep on the couch when I got there.
Yeah, just a different lane.
And I thought, how am I going to get out of this? But I told him to his face. And I think for me, that was a really, really big thing.
To just be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. He probably didn't. I mean, I know he didn't love it.
It wasn't the New Year's Eve kiss he was going for.
No.
The kiss of death.
And I ended up in bed with Maltesers at
9:30. I'm glad you said Maltesers. I was like, shit, where is this going? Who did she end up in bed with? So that's good. So you will move quickly. See, I'm happy to have – I want to know a little bit about the person before I meet with them, and I think maybe that's reflective of protective, but I'm also time poor and I genuinely would rather be on my own than spend time with someone that I'm not going to have a good conversation with, which isn't probably the right attitude, because you're so right. You need to meet someone, because I have had the experience where I've had rhythm backwards and forth on a dating app or via text. And then as soon as they've gotten out of the car, I've gone, oh,
well, see, that's
like, I just know, like, you just know sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that was my New Year's dud. And that's where I went wrong. I think because it was over Christmas and obviously I had the children.
You were vulnerable.
I was vulnerable. And he was the only person that I had ever conversed with for days before meeting.
And you guys were laughing a lot because you were like, we're sending voice messages and we're cracking up.
Like, I could not breathe. He was so funny.
Yeah, but just not, it didn't translate into real life.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, see, I'm happy to go back and forth enough to know, like, okay, they've got similar values, similar morals, or we're going to at least have some sort of, like, common ground that we can have a conversation, whereas you're just, like, are you making these judgments on physical attraction quickly?
Yeah, I would say initially, absolutely, physical attraction. Bug. But, yeah, absolutely. Do you have an ankle bracelet on in your pictures?
Do you have a parole officer? Great. Here's my address. Do you agree?
I agree. But I also, maybe it's a special talent. I know if I vibe with someone straight away from like the first couple of messages.
But is it a special talent if you're single?
Well, perhaps not. Oh, I fall in love every week.
You do fall quickly. So after she sent me the message of this man's bathroom and said, look, like, wow, yippee, like, I've hit the jackpot.
I feel like you're really making it sound more than what it was.
I don't think it's normal to be that excited over a bathroom, but it's the little things. But then you said, I love him and I think I'm going to marry him. So you do attach quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's, yeah, definitely. But I also, I like when it's like an equal attachment.
Yeah, he's into you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where you're at. You've had two dates with this guy. So we'll just ... to be continued on him.
Yeah, he may be dead next week. He may not exist to me.
Dead in your
dead,
world.
Dead in my world.
She's not.
Social suicide, not really.
So we've kind of touched on this, but one thing I was going to say, like, or ask you is what makes you swipe on a profile, but we've kind of got a clear picture. You just love a crim.
I have a type.
Okay. That makes you swipe on a profile.
Yeah. I always read it, but I don't do the profiles with, no bio.
That's a very poignant because I have been known to have no bio.
Nothing. Zilch.
That's why I like the apps that have prompts.
Yeah.
Because then I have to fill them out.
I do always read the bio. I make sure that we are over 5'7" at least.
She does not love a short king.
I do not love a short king.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes you swipe. I think for me what makes me swipe is I do like a bio, like I like a bit of information, but I also, I don't know if I have like a specific hit list of they have to have this before I swipe. It's more just like a feeling, like if your finger hovers and you're curious about someone,
yeah,
I'll swipe on them. But of course, smile lines, like I'm a sucker for someone with like a lot of smile lines. I really love that.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, when you do go on a date, are you mindful of certain things? Like, what are you paying attention to?
I'm really mindful of how they interact with others, not just me. Like,
I think that's the typical, like, how do they treat the waitress?
Exactly, to make sure they're respectful of
the server,
others. But I guess just mannerisms are a big one for me too, I think.
You've had a date recently where someone straight away you were like, that's a no for me with their mannerisms.
Oh, absolutely.
The gingerbread guy.
Yeah, the gingerbread guy. He was so lovely and so good looking and an absolute beautiful person, but not for me.
Yeah. See, I wonder, and you can tell me, but I wonder if maybe one of the differences between us is I will go on a date with someone, and yes, I've had the experience, as I mentioned before, where I'll see someone and I'll straight away know it's a no.
Yeah.
And I'll have like a quick coffee and like move it along. But I've also had the experience where it's not like a, oh my gosh, yes, this guy's amazing. But I'm like, like it was pleasant enough.
Tell me more.
I like you. Tell me more.
Yeah.
So then I'll go on another date and see where things go from there. But I feel like that's probably not your zone. You're like, I'm either in or out. I'm fully attached and moving in, or I'm ghosting.
And if I'm in, like, for instance, I don't have a nickname for this one. We probably need one.
He kind of has a nickname because he goes by two names. For reasons that you guys can
the Nivea guy, he... Like, I'm so in that I deleted my Tinder when I was at...
After one date.
Not even after one date, when we were at dinner. Like, I deleted
wild.
It. And I pay for that. Like, every time I delete that, I'm a $43 in the hole.
You pay for Tinder?
I pay for everything. Except for Hinge. I didn't get onto that.
I pay for Hinge because I like the filters. There's all sorts of filters.
a height one.
There is a height filter. There is, indeed. Okay. But we are not heightists, although you are.
I am, absolutely.
Yeah, you are. Okay. What do you think are red flags when you're seeing someone? Like, what is a no for you? Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, I see the red flags, but I just fold them up and put them in my pocket. I love
just
them.
Keep going and collect them.
I love them. Red is my favorite color. My hard no's are...
Is that why you were looking at me? Because you're like,
red flags? Like, I love them. The more, the better. Make me a better.
Make me a better. Okay.
Hate
me like one of your French girls.
I'm a big vibe. Like, I feel like if there's no banter back and forth, like...
Yeah, you're all about energy. Because even on our walk, you were telling me about this Nivea guy. And everything you're telling me, if we wrote that down on paper, that would automatically go in a red flag column. But you're not bothered by them because you're like, no, like I think that this is a good person.
Yeah, I'm energy, and I think, like, for me, my biggest red flags would be my energy, my vibes. Like, if you don't find me funny, because I'm very funny. Like, if you don't sit there and laugh at what I'm saying,
you have a bad sense of humor.
Yeah, like I would just. Or I don't know. Mine are very much, I get the ick very easily. Like,
yeah, you don't like people chewing.
Don't like chewing. If their teeth aren't appropriate.
Liquid only diet.
Like, if their teeth are not appropriately lengthed.
Size.
Like, if they have small teeth, I'm out. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm.
Okay. They're your red flags.
Not very deep, yeah. I like red flags. I don't know how to answer that. Whereas your red flags. What are they?
Well, I think now my red flags, like with dating in this current state, are different to what they would have been a couple of years ago. Now for me, red flags are if they don't have any idea at all what they want to do in the future. I think because with the breakup that I went through at the start of last year, that was a big one. Like, there was no shared future there, and this person in particular never allows himself to really think of the future. And whilst I recognize no future is guaranteed, like, I'm not looking for someone to be like, oh, this is exactly how our future is going to be. I want them to at least have some sort of forecasting.
Whereas I'm the opposite. I would like my future planned out.
Yeah, I think, see, going through the divorce has made me be like, well, nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah, of course.
So a red flag that I notice is if they're all about only living in the current moment, that might not necessarily work for me. And that is something I have to be mindful of, because I am attracted to nomads. Nomads light me up. Like, I love the guy that has no baggage and has...
Oh, you love the guy that sleeps in the back of a van.
I love it. Keeps his things in a Ziploc bag. Sign me up. I am attracted to that. But upon having distance and thinking through things, and I guess therapy as well, I could recognize I'm drawn to that person because it's something I would like more of in my own life. So I need to give that to myself. So other red flags, if they don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Because I've been in situations where I've been romantically with someone who has kind of not got anyone else. They've not got family. They've not got friends. And it's too suffocating. Like, I really want to be with someone who has their own life.
Their own social circle.
Yeah. Other red flags, talking badly about their exes is a big one, I think. Although you'd probably love that.
No, not at all.
No?
I don't like that at all, actually. That's wrong. That is a wrong statement, Kylie Jenner.
It's a wrong assumption. She is a moving target.
That's probably a big one, is I don't like when people talk bad about
anyone.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Or, for instance, like, my probably biggest red flag is my ex-husband and I do a lot of things together still. Like, we...
So if they're jealous.
If they're jealous or if they don't, like, that's a big no for me. And that's something I disclose really, really early on. Like, I say, look, like, my ex and I...
Spend
time as a family. We have family photos. We take the kids to Christmas lights. We do things as a family.
Yeah, and if that's not going to fly with you, it's not going to
fly. Exactly.
Which I think too, like...
And that's something that I would never try to fight them on or to...
Yeah, you're not going to work with
that. No, absolutely not.
It's already like pushing it's like an uphill battle. And I think other red flags for me that I'm noticing lately is if they're bad on comms, like if they're not good with communication... Yeah. And if I get the sense that they're playing games, and just a general sense of anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Like that last boy that I, not recently, but.
Midnight meme, man.
Who's midnight meme?
Bush's meme.
Oh, no, not him. Oh. No, not him. I had a guy send me this random, like, it's art apparently, but I didn't realize it was art, but it's like a spooky meme.
You don't know a good thing when you've got it.
It said I'm outside in the bushes and it really creeped me out. Anyway, not him. Oh. I was talking about the guy from like a month ago. We'll call him Schmillen.
Oh, yes.
He gave me so much anxiety.
I'm familiar.
So, like, after my dates with him, I felt riddled with anxiety to the point of, like, I thought I liked him. And I was saying...
You had, like, an anxious attachment to him.
Yes. And I think he was triggering a lot of stuff from my last breakup. Like, he was, like, nomad energy. And I was really, really anxious over him. And I didn't know whether that anxiety was because I liked him and I was afraid to like him. But now having then that play out and being like, no, he was bad on comms. I felt like he was playing games. That was definitely like an anxious triggering.
Yeah. And I think that's probably one thing that we both have in common, which correct me if I'm wrong, is I also think you tend to date down and I do too. Like,
I don't date down.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. You also love a loser. They're just...
No,
yes,
I don't.
You do. They're just in different things.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I've never dated a loser.
What was Schmillen's job?
He had like a proper full-time job. He's definitely not a loser. I think he's actually going to be very successful.
Oh, see.
Going to be potential.
Going to be your potential.
No, no, he's definitely...
I could fix him.
No, he wasn't a loser, I don't think. But I think that... I don't think I've ever dated a loser.
No, I think you date down, not a loser. I date the losers. I date the ones that I can look at and go, no, I know you're a loser, but maybe I could fix you. I think you date down in the sense that you're very successful and very headstrong in what you want for the most part. But I think you do date down. Like, men
I don't understand what that means.
Like, they're not good enough for you. Like, they keep Aqua in a Snaplock bag and they're different. Or they have a very, very young circle of friends that don't necessarily fit what you would love. But
see, I would push back on that. I don't think I've ever dated an actual loser, ever. Anyone I've ever... Jesus. You can't say that. You can't say that, Mallory. Things she's mouthing. When you say it like that, yes, I have been... I was with someone who didn't own anything, but he definitely was not a loser.
No, at all. Loser is probably the wrong word, but I feel like you do. You don't date men on the same level as you, as far as professional career goes and whatnot.
But who would be? Like, that's so interesting.
I'm not really sure who would be, because I know no one that wears a suit unless they have a court date coming up.
See, I don't want someone that wears a suit. This is so interesting. So you think I date down.
I think you date down.
You definitely date down. There's no, that's objective.
100%. I'm a broken, broken woman.
Oh my God. Okay, that's interesting. So you've had two dates with this guy. You're smitten. I've recently had two dates with someone and I'm very interested to keep seeing how that progresses.
Yes.
What else have I got written down here? We've gone over I was going to say, what are your red flags? But your red flags are just the people that you like, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all the same.
Yeah. Whereas I think my red flags are probably that maybe I'm too discerning too early on. Like, I want to work out pretty quickly if someone's going to be a fit for me now. So maybe I'm like overlooking people because.
Oh, I probably have that too. I'm a hard no straight, like very, very quickly. I'm a hard yes or a hard no.
Yeah. Okay, ideal first date situation.
Oh, I'm more of a, I like a dinner date, but I also will always drive so I can have a fast exit because
You're not a drinker either, really.
No, not really, and I'm not going to waste my time. If I don't feel it, I'm not going
to... She's just going to tell them straight to their face.
I will literally say to their face... I find you incredibly attractive.
She's stolen that from me. That's my breakup line.
Look, I don't use that. I literally just say, I've had a great time, but you're not for me. And I don't feel bad saying that. And I think for me, I don't feel bad because typically I haven't conversed with them for a long time and we haven't.
It's low investment.
Very, very low investment. Like my investment.
But you like a dinner date?
Yeah.
See, I feel like a dinner date's a big investment. I won't agree to a dinner date.
Yeah, but you won't do a day date either. So what do you do?
Fucking hard work, isn't she?
Literally.
I just like a drink. Like, let's meet for a wine, feel it out.
Just bring your camper van over that you live in.
Literally. No. Okay, so you'll like a dinner date, which is... Oh, you probably do that because you hate people who chew.
Imagine.
So you need to, like, work out if you can actually share a meal with them.
And see if I can see their teeth. Like, if the teeth to gum ratio is good. But I would do a coffee date too.
Mm.
Normally the coffee dates are probably the people that I'm exceptionally low invested in. Like, that I'm like, oh, I know that it's probably not going to work, but for the sake of a neck tattoo, I'll give it a go.
She'll dip a toe in for the sake of a neck tattoo. And if they've got face tattoos, it's a full meal.
Oh, if it's a face tattoo, we're having a sleepover.
Oh, my God. So as Milmore said, I am not a huge fan of the day date just because I've had coffee dates that have felt more like interviews. And I think because I'm pretty busy usually through the day, I've always got stuff that I can do and I probably feel more inclined to want to do something at night on the nights that I don't have the kids because I just won't do it. But I did, like, that first, the guy that I've just had two good dates with, and I'm pretty sure there'll be a third, we had a day date.
Yeah, and you didn't want to go.
I did not want to go.
I forced you to go.
She did.
Yeah.
Because I was about to get the kids back that afternoon. I had been working and I guess I don't like going from like work mode to a date mode.
And then to mum mode straight after.
Felt like a lot of whiplash.
Yeah.
And I also, like, this guy, I'm so glad that I went. Like, so glad right now that I went. Things could change. But, like, he's younger than me. So that's not someone that I would usually go on a date with. And I just wasn't sure if there was that rhythm there.
Yeah. And also your attraction was not as prominent online as it was in person. You found him very attractive.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I went. Like, I think I sent you a message when he was getting a drink and I was like, yep, he's tall, he's good looking. We sound really like him. We're all about the height, which is not true because Schmillen was not tall. So I'm not
as much of a heightist. He was a tiny Tom.
tiny Tom. But yeah, as soon as I saw him, I was so glad that I went on this day date. So normally I have a hard no, but we did go for two drinks and I'm really glad I did. What else? Yeah, my ideal date is just like, let's meet for a drink, because then you can always go for dinner afterwards if there's a rhythm, and if there's not, and one or two drinks, you can still drive as well. How much communication do you expect from someone that you're dating?
Oh, all of it. All of it. All of it.
FaceTime me 24/7. Like,
get a new phone number and only add mine to it. That is what I need. But I expect a lot.
Yeah. And see,
and I typically get, this is where I'm very probably still trying to figure myself out, because I like a lot on my terms.
Yeah. You like a lot as long as it doesn't give you the ick.
Yeah. And as soon as it gives me the ick, I have to, I ghost them.
You will ghost out.
Absolutely. I will typically just give them a little block and a.
Oh, you'll block?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
I feel anxious if they would message me and.
See, that's so interesting. But then on a real date, you'll say to someone, I'm not feeling this, but someone who's invested in you, you'll just block them.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, we won't delve too deep into that, because who knows what will come up, but there have been times when you will message me and say, like, I'm feeling a certain way over someone who hasn't replied to you or hasn't messaged you in the last X amount of time.
It's been 13 minutes.
I'm like, you need to rein it.
Who showers for 13 minutes?
Like, you need to rein it back in. I think I'm maybe it's like an age thing. I don't know. I'm a little bit more realistic with communication, and I don't want to hear from someone 24/7. Like, I wouldn't want someone that I'm dating to call me all the time for conversations.
Oh, I don't want anyone to call me ever. Okay. I just want a constant stream of text messages, like a play-by-play.
Okay, right. So you want to hear from them every day?
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm invested into somebody that I want to see, or that I don't know, I'm not necessarily exclusive with, but yeah, I want to hear from them every day.
At what point would you go exclusive with someone?
I'm not a great person to ask this question.
Why? Because you go too hard too soon?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're feeling exclusive already with this guy after two dates?
I have sized out his cupboard to see if my clothes would fit in there.
Right. Okay. They would, okay. By the way. Stay tuned for episode 2, team, for those playing at home. Comms for me, I do like to hear from someone, but I don't need a lot. Like, I really don't think that I need a lot of communication in between dates. I think I'm quite independent in that way.
Yeah.
But I don't like the feeling of someone playing games.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing with you as well, is your communication doesn't need to be as constant as mine, but if they are viewing your stories but not texting you, that's a big, you don't like that.
Yeah, because then that tells me that there's some sort of game playing, because I think that there are still people, and this guy, again, that gave me the anxiety, like we were speaking about this on a date, because I said, oh, I was unsure if you liked me. And he was like, but, you know, girls don't, girls, like, women, mister. But he was saying, like, girls don't actually want a lot of attention because they're more inclined to like us if we're not giving them as much attention. And that's like such a naughty boy attitude, isn't it? Like, that's the kid that pulled your hair on the bus and thinks that that's the way to tell you. You should
have told him to his face. But then and there, it's a no, a hard no, yeah. Schmillen.
Well, no, we were just having a conversation about it, and I was saying, oh, no, see, I'm both too young and too old to play games. Like, I want clear comms. If someone, you know, and there's this great quote that I've shared before, that if someone leaves you feeling confused, they don't like you.
Yeah.
Because if someone likes you, you'll know.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's my biggest thing, which it took me a long time to, let my ex-boyfriend go. That was,
yeah, well, you guys were on and off for like 18 months.
Oh, it was
toxic.
Very toxic. It was the biggest toxic bond that I have ever experienced.
Do you think it was a trauma bond?
I think so. I think we had very similar
wounds.
But for me, it was, I begged him for the bare minimum. Like, yeah. I begged him to participate in being a part of his own family.
Yeah.
And I look back now and I think it took me a long time to be able to realize that, but to be able to let him go. And my biggest thing was, if he wanted to, he would. And he doesn't want to, and he never wanted to.
And at some point you have to believe people's actions over believing people's words.
Oh, absolutely. And
which, yeah, I from the outside looking in, I can see that for sure in that relationship. I don't know a great deal about it, but you know, there's things we obviously won't go into on a podcast, but I could definitely see it was toxic and there was a lot of trauma bonding and a lot of like, it's like so nearly right. Like it's nearly right. Like, can I make this square fit through this triangle hole? Can I do it? Like if I turn it to the right, can I make this fit?
No, you can't. I'll tell you now, after 18 months, you cannot.
Yeah. Okay. You can't. What else are we talking about? Communication, making someone fit, believing actions, and also too, like believing words as well. Like in the relationship, the last relationship I had, the whole way through, I had the information. You know, like I knew that I was tangled up with a Peter Pan. I had that information, but I wasn't really willing to sort of allow myself to forecast. I was much more like, well, that's okay for now. That's okay for now. And it actually was a really good relationship. And I think, you know, I have moments where I'm angry about it, but then I have moments where I'm really grateful for it. And I think it was a good relationship for me at the time because I had to go very slow.
Yeah.
Whereas now, and I mean, I wonder what your opinion is on this, but I don't know if I would go as slow with someone.
No. And I think that's where we differ and probably both need to find a more
middle ground.
A middle ground, because you admittedly, my children have never met anybody except for my ex that I was with for 18 months. The kids have, aside from that, not met anybody else, which is something that I will, again, we're lucky that we're in a position where we can do that.
Parenting.
But I also will not do that again so hard so quickly. Whereas you were with this man for a very long
time. Do you know what? We were together for 7 months before I even knew that I could call him my boyfriend.
Yeah. And
6 months. And then he met the kids after 7 months.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's a long time. Like,
such a long time. Yeah.
For me, again, I don't have the best track record, so I could
take it with a grain of salt, too. Please don't. She's not here to give advice. She's I'm just sharing her story.
Just sharing my story. I feel like a couple of months and then I would introduce my children, but now especially that mine are becoming to the age where they're old enough to understand that, no, this man is
not dad,
not my dad and never will be. They've got a fantastic dad, just like yours do. But I don't want someone to come in and feel like it's stepdaddy tryouts. Like it just has to be daddy tryouts.
she means zaddy. She means a daddy for herself is what she's saying. Oh God.
But yeah, I think the children thing and bringing them into it is I don't know, because last time I moved very, very quickly and that has been something that probably held us together for longer than it should have, because my boys were.
Because you integrated and you had this family unit sooner, so it would have been harder to call it off because it's not just a relationship between you and that person.
Absolutely. That's what you mean. And my boys were not even 2 years old, so they kind of knew nothing else. Mm. Whereas now they understand.
To an extent.
Yeah, to an extent, of course, but they understand that they've got one fantastic dad and I wouldn't bring anyone else into their life until I was sure.
Yeah. And see, I think that is something I am hoping to do a little bit differently if I meet someone, is to not be so fucking easy breezy, cool girl. Nothing bothers me. I don't need to ask if I'm your girlfriend. Like that kind of super, super easygoing thing that I did. I think this time I would want more clarity. Like it's kind of wild to think I was with someone for 6 months and didn't know that I was their girlfriend, don't you think?
Yeah, of course.
It's a bit dumb.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if I would do it as slow. And I mean, I wouldn't be introducing the kids to someone super quick, but I think that I would introduce them faster. One of the things that I struggled with was not feeling seen across all roles. Like I was very much fun girlfriend or available girlfriend when I didn't have the kids. But then when I was in mum mode, I still existed. There was still a relationship there for sure. But I wasn't seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he would never come over.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted you when you were available as Kylie.
Yes, which is why I think we were able to have a relationship that's lasted over a year is because we could only move so slowly and it was in a container that suited him and his own personal idiosyncrasies. Whereas what I really would have loved and I just didn't want to ask for would have really loved more integration of please come over while I'm putting the kids to bed and pour me a wine. Like, that's all I want. Like, I want someone that can see me as a mum as well as the other things.
But I also think probably moving forward because my daughter is very similar age to your boys.
She's 6 months younger, yeah. But she's like going on 16. Oh, she's such a teenager.
But she, so for instance, I mean, I try to obviously keep everything very age appropriate, but she understands that I'm single and dating.
Oh, yeah. And the boys say to me all the time, Mum, are you going to get a dating profile and get a boyfriend?
Exactly. And that's where I feel like you can integrate that a little bit. Normalize it. Like, they don't have to.
Yeah, well, I did say to the boys last time, because they'll say to me, what did you do when we weren't here? And I usually just say, oh, I worked, or I saw my friend, or I went for a walk. And I said, oh, Mum, I actually went on a date this time. And I just wanted to test the waters and see how they responded to that. And they were like, yeah, cool. Like, tell me about him type thing. And I said, well, I probably don't need to tell you about him because I don't know if I'm going to see him again, but I had a nice time and I think that I'm ready. Because they went through like the heartbreak with me with the breakup.
Yeah,
because I was so destroyed over this dumb breakup. But they understand.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, and I think that you need to be able to be obviously age appropriate, but to be able to communicate with them. Like for my daughter, Piper, I actually find it really funny some of the things she will say because she will often say.
She's told me about the sort of person she doesn't want you to get tangled up with.
She will often say to me, let's find someone that's right for us both.
She is very grown up. And yeah, when I was dropping her home on Christmas Eve, the things that were coming out of her mouth, I was like, wow, wow, she's very grown up. But yes, and I think, again, it's all age appropriate and it's all small bits of information. But something I'm understanding with the boys is I do want them to understand that I am an individual as well as their mum and I deserve to have a life and I deserve to explore things and I don't want to rattle them and scare them.
No, but and that it is normal. Like it is normal.
And it's okay to go on a date and it doesn't work out. And it's okay to go on a date and it does work out.
It's okay to have relationships that, yeah.
With criminals.
Yeah, absolutely. That is more than okay if you are me.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's been interesting.
Very interesting.
I did have another thing written down, but I think that we've kind of touched on it where I said, like, how do you think your childhood impacts your relationships? And for those people listening, there is a man by the name of Harville Hendricks who has a book called, I think it's called Getting the Love You Want or Getting the Love You Deserve. And he speaks a lot about how our family relationships really impact the romantic partnerships we seek and what voids we're trying to fill. But I feel like we've kind of touched on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. And I also have to go to do a live chat, so we need to wrap it up.
Bye-bye.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add to this conversation? Or like, what if someone's listening who is only like brand newly single? What advice would you give them? You wouldn't give them advice.
Oh, well, they shouldn't take it, but date multiple people. You don't have to sleep with them. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Like
Mallory's a big prude.
Oh, I'm
only since now being both single, I'll make a comment about sex and she'll go bright red and she'll be like, oh, I'm not discussing that. Like, I'm such a prude.
I won't have sex with someone until I am exclusive, which I mean doesn't take long in my world. But I think it's so normal to date and date multiple people. It doesn't mean you have to sleep with them or you owe them anything or that you even have to ever see them again. But
you can just block them.
Yeah, block them. No, disappear.
Don't.
Yeah, absolutely do. You don't owe them anything. But date people, go for it. Like exactly what Kylie said, which is something that she said to me very, very early on was go for the story.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really do. But also now that I'm probably in a position where I feel very secure within myself as a person. And I guess what I want now is I go in with, I don't care if they like me. It's do I like them?
Yes.
And that's a really big thing is I'm like, it's not about if they like me. It's do I like this person?
And I did think that when you were messaging me on New Year's Eve and you were going for a date and you were kind of like, oh, I don't really want to go, but I might as well.
I shouldn't have gone.
But you weren't really rocked by it. I mean, the only thing you said was like you wasted a good outfit on it. But, yeah, I feel like you do have a strong sense of self. So you're not really afraid of someone rejecting you because you're more cognizant of how you're feeling about them.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my only thing was just worry if you like them.
Yeah. All right. And the thing that I would probably end this episode on just reiterating is if someone gives you massive anxiety, it's probably not because they're a good fit.
Probably not.
And also just that saying, which I've said countless times in episodes, if you feel confused by someone, they probably aren't that interested in you. Yeah. Would you agree?
If they wanted to, they would.
Yeah. We'll end it on that note. All right. Where can people follow you, hear more of your unfiltered opinions, see more from you?
Oh, that would be my Instagram, which apparently I need to have a new name.
I was just like, explain the name to me.
I think it's fantastic. My Instagram handle is my_blonterage, which I thought was very cute.
But you're not even blonde anymore.
No, but my entourage is my three little...
The team.
Yeah, the byproduct of my marriage.
Okay. All right. Well, I will put Maloney's Instagram handle in the show notes and you guys can hear more from her over on social. If you enjoyed this episode, absolutely let us know. I think it could be a cool idea to have like a couple of episodes scheduled where we just like share our trials and tribulations.
Yeah, just who I'm in love with next week.
Stay tuned. Don't have to go, I can set you free. Are you gonna make a move? Are you gonna come and see? Whatever you wanna do, you know it's cool with me. Whisper in the dark, whispers in the dark. You come to play, don't you? Looking for something new. I got a lot underneath, tricks up my sleeve.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.